We should pray for the message. It's always good to pray for the message. You want to get something from it, don't you? So it's a selfish prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us today about this game of life that we're in and how that works and what it does in terms of our choices in life. And I ask that you take my words and give them your spirit so that they're speak to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know, have you ever been playing Monopoly and it's your turn and you're about to move along Hotel Alley? Usually it's the red and yellow properties that kill me. It doesn't matter if you're ready or not, it's just your turn in the game. Have you ever stood at the plate with the bases loaded and your team is behind by a couple of runs and it's your turn? And it's in your hands at that point. Doesn't matter if you're ready or not. It's just your turn. Girls, have you ever been pregnant? And that kid is coming out whether you're ready or not? It's just your turn. Have you ever given a talk on a great banquet weekend? And it doesn't matter whether you're ready or not for that even. It's just your turn. Have you ever got a call to come to the hospital, doesn't matter if you're ready or not, it's just your turn. Sometimes in this game of life that we play, it doesn't matter whether you are ready or not, it's just your turn. How many of us, if not all of us, have stood by a loved one, a spouse, a mother, father, son or daughter, good friend, as they died? It didn't matter whether you were ready for it or not, it was just your turn to experience the pain, the grief, the anguish of the moment. This game of life that we play is like so many of the games that we have designed in this world. Bernard Suits wrote an article. He says, "What is a game?" And he basically says that a game is basically a creation of a challenge against which one tests oneself. What makes a game good is that it embodies well-crafted problems. It is owning and embracing the problem that makes players able to grow in excellence of will and character. And if you think about that, isn't that like life? You are responsible for your own life. No one can take your turn. A lot of the games that we play are turn-based games, like chess or checkers, Monopoly, Risk, those kinds of games. I kind of like this kind of game. Everybody has a turn, and everybody gets to focus on their challenges in that game. A lot of these new video games today aren't turn-based. They are action, action, and more action, and you can just go blind and have a carpal tunnel just from playing the games. And, you know, it's true of life some of the time, but that there's action in it, but a lot of the time, we are actually in a turn-based game in this life. We get to think. We get to choose the path sometimes. In this game of life, you are not a pawn or a victim of circumstances. You are responsible for your own life. No one else can take your turn. There are no designated hitters. You are not allowed to say pass. You have a turn every time you have an opportunity to choose something. Most of us see only a fraction of the choices that we actually have. We don't think about them, but we do. We make choices all the time. Think about the decision and choices you make all the time. The more you become aware of how many of those choices are, then they're up to you, the more you're going to understand and embrace the fact that you have to take your turn. For instance, what are you going to think about today? What thoughts are you going to dwell on today? Well, where will you direct your desires today? How are you going to take care of your body today? What are you going to eat today? How will you spend your time? All these are calls that you get to make, and when you add them all up, they become life. No one else can take your turn. The fact that you made a choice to come to church today is part of your life. And if I get your attention that you actually made a choice as to where you were going to be this morning, it might address your life if you think about it. You chose to come. Someone else who is missing today and missing this worship service, they're doing it by choice. They're making their own call. And even if there's something here that would address their life, it's going to be missed and never to be part of their life at all. No one else can take your turn. We're always being given choices in this life. We're always choosing in this turn-based game we call life. There were many times that Jesus would meet and would meet people, and out of that meeting, somebody has to make a choice, has to have take their turn. Read with me Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. Here we go. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have observed from my youth." And Jesus, looking upon him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." At that saying, his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is one of those moments when God just spoke the truth. This poor guy had to make a call right there on the spot. He showed up in front of Jesus. All he was looking for is for an affirmation for his life, is what he was really saying. What must I do? I've already done all this stuff, you know. And he shows up. And Jesus says, "Well, you're going to have to choose. Do I take my turn or not?" You see, Jesus loved him, and it says so right there. He loved him, and he knew the man's heart. And he knew the one thing standing between him and the kingdom of heaven, his problem was his money. For somebody else, it might be your kids, it might be your spouse, it might be your health. It may be anything we can think of that we put first in our lives. But for this guy, it was money. This guy wanted to be affirmed in his life, but Jesus saw right through him, and Jesus was giving the man a choice. This man had to take his turn and make the call. There's a reason why we must each take our turn or we die. If you don't, maybe dead already in some area of your life. The ability to choose is a God-given gift. It is what makes us being created in God's image. We might use words like being proactive or taking initiative or taking responsibility in terms of our lives, but they really have to do with the word dominion. In the creation story and in Genesis, it talks about this word, dominion. Read with me Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Here we go. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth.' God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" It said, let them have dominion. Dominion is one of these kingdom words. God's plan is that everybody gets a turn. And sometimes it comes when we are ready, and sometimes it comes when we're not ready. You think about it. You have a kingdom. I have a kingdom. Having a kingdom is a very good thing. It's part of what God made you for, actually, to be creative force for good in this world. If our sense of dominion dies, when we feel like we have no control over our lives, that's when we die as well. Now, I've seen it happen with people over the years. One of the most devastating experiences in life is this sense of what I do doesn't matter. One of the most important research projects was concerning depression. I know that some of us here have suffered from depression at times, and maybe even some of us today are there right now. Depression is a big thing. Well, let me tell you something. Depression is brought on by a sense of learned helplessness. Depression is brought on by a sense of learned helplessness. Experimenters gave a group of dogs a series of small electrical shocks. Some dogs learned that they could stop the shocks if they would jump over a wall. Other dogs were given shocks at random. The second group simply lay down and quit trying to do anything. Later on, they were put in the setting where they could have stopped the shocks by jumping over the wall, but they never even tried because they had learned helplessness. They had learned that they were helpless. The truth of the matter is, we people are more vulnerable to this learned helplessness than dogs are. If you want to read a powerful book, get a copy of Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. It's about his experiences in a Nazi death camp. And in that environment, the greatest differences between people who give up and people who remain resilient is a sense that they can control something. Now, in nursing homes, people's health and emotional well-being is all wrapped up in the ability to make small choices. Now, these are things that we might think are trivial, but those choices allow people to take their turn in the game of life. There are many things in life that are out of our control, and I made that point last week for all you control freaks out there, but we still have to take a turn. We all have a choice about the contents and character of our inner lives, every one of us. These things like aspirations and desires, things that we don't like, our opinions on matters in life, these are areas where we actually do have control. I've been around enough people to know, as well as my own life, that sometimes dreams go unfulfilled, health will disappear, hopes will fade, changes come in life, loss occurs in relationships. Crises hit. The key question is not, what have I lost? The key question is, what do I have now? Followed by, where do I go from here? Which means, I'm not dead yet. Which means, I know that the game of my life is not over yet. Where do I take the turn that God has given me? Now, just so you know, your body is not you. Your job is not you. Your kids are not you. Your success, reputation, and possessions are not you. What your parents, boss, peers, friends, or enemies think of you is not you. Your circumstance and limitations are not you. There is a you inside of you that nobody put there. It's the one that God is the judge of. It's the one that God put there. That is you. Now, I mentioned Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. He was a psychiatrist who lost everything when the Nazis came to power. They took his home, his career, and his freedom. His parents, brother, and wife were killed in the gas ovens in Germany. He spent years in Auschwitz where he was beaten, starved, and brutalized and dehumanized, where people died every day. Now, there is no way for us to comprehend that absolute hell that he existed in. One time he talks about this. A person was having a nightmare, and he got up, and he was going to go over and wake the guy up because he was having a nightmare in his sleep, and he got there, and he didn't do it because he realized that the reality of where they were at that point was worse than the nightmare. He took tours in people's lives. He noticed that some prisoners, though starving, would offer their bread to others. He saw how some, though weak, would try to comfort those who were weaker. He came to realize that everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, is the ability to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. You get to choose. You get to take your turn to choose one's own way. Now, I said last week there's a lot in this game of life that we have absolutely no control over. But the inner you gets to choose, and that is the control in the inner you. Viktor Frankl noticed that some people took their turn, even if they were dying. He chose to cherish his memories of loved ones. He chose to offer help as a doctor where he could. He grew very conscious about making choices all the time. He chose what he would think. He chose what words he was going to speak, how he would respond to the dehumanizing aspects of the life that he had, how he would walk and talk and live in spite of the circumstance. I tell you this to show you how one man chose to play the game of life and to take his turn. I guess the point of today's message is this. Now it's your turn. Ready or not, for some of you, I want to make sure you understand the power of this moment in your life. Not the fact that we're here in church or anything like that, but the power of this moment in your life. What are you going to do with your life? How are you going to live? How are you going to play this game of life that we're all in? And let's do it this way. Let's not make this too big a bite here. You know, let's not eat the whole elephant at once. Let's just look at this coming week until we gather here again next Sunday. Pick some area where you can take action in your life or choose to honor God in that area of your life. It might be choosing to feed your mind for a change. It might be to go a week without complaining to somebody. Of course, none of us complain. Maybe somebody will choose to sign up to go to the great banquet. You've been invited. You've had plenty of invitations. Why don't you do it? And see what God has to say to you. Perhaps for this week, you can live intentionally and pay attention to all the decisions that are open to you. Some of them can be absurdly small, like sleeping on the opposite side of the bed, or brush your teeth at a different time of the day, who you call, what you listen to, what you read, what route you drive, and what clothes you're choosing to wear. Some of the decisions you make may be a little bit larger than that kind of stuff, but you can refuse to allow your boss, your spouse, your family member to have power over your mood because of the way they treat you or the circumstance you're in. In fact, you can choose to change the weather not only in yourself, but in the people around you. Now, once again, I'm not talking about the rest of your life here. Just this week. Take action. Do something by choice, even if you're not sure what. Taking action helps prevent sinking into that learned helplessness. One eternally significant choice is receiving Jesus as your Savior and beginning that journey of making Him Lord of your life. That is a choice. It's always a God-given choice as well. There may be somebody here and you have been pondering that choice for some time now. Today is yours to choose that. You can choose to find meaning in your suffering. I know that life has suffering in it. Maybe our suffering can help someone else, and maybe you'll be able to grow stronger through your actions. Maybe the game of life is simply a conviction that God will be able to bring good out of a circumstance or situation that you can't see right now. Let me close with a little spiritual direction. If you resolve in your heart to honor God and follow Jesus for just 1 week, He will become involved in your life in ways you can't see right now. And it doesn't matter if you are ready or not at this point. It is your turn. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help all of us to realize that we're the ones who live our lives, and we're in our own game, and it is our turn, as usual. In Jesus' name, amen.